Good morning and good afternoon, San Jose and New Vine Church family. It's so good to be worshiping with you again. It's been nearly 7 months since we went into shelter in place. So much has happened and so much had to change. Our San Jose church just celebrated 45th year anniversary. We were supposed to be celebrating this milestone with our all-church retreat at Mount Hermon in 2 weeks, and yet we're going to have to wait a little longer for that. New Vine just turned 4 a few weeks ago. A significant part of our church history has now been in shelter in place. And so many of you are wondering when we will be able to gather in person again. Well, that time is coming soon. This past week, Santa Clara County finally announced that churches can now have indoor gatherings up to 25% capacity. And if we continue to move in the right direction, that number will go up to 50% in about 3 weeks or so. We're not out of the woods yet. We're not going to rush into a full capacity gathering anytime soon, but we will slowly have to make another significant adjustment. This will come in phases, and our leaders have been actively discussing how to transition in ways that will best serve our community. We'll slowly be transitioning to some form of hybrid worship, in person as well as live streaming, so that those who are willing to come out can join us on Sundays, while the rest will be able to worship at home, as you have been. We're also trying to gauge how many people want to come out and join the Sunday live worship, so you'll be receiving a short 3-question survey soon. Please take a moment to respond by yes or no, so that we can prepare for this in-person gathering coming up. And be praying for wisdom and discernment as how we enter this next season. I'm actually very, very grateful that we've been experiencing God's covering in these last 7 months. Not one person in our church community had to suffer from COVID-19. But continue to pray for one another, as this has been a very hard and trying season for many of us. With that, we are going to continue our series on what it means to be a spiritual community. As we talked about this, we're not just any community. We're not a social club. We're not just an organization. There are 4 things that are unique to the church or Christian community. We're confessional in that we are called to live with no secrets. That is what it means to walk in the light. Our confession is not just to God, but also to one another. That is what defines our fellowship. We're also communal in that our lives are conjoined together. What happens to you matters to me. What happens to me impacts your life. We share not just our things or need, but our destiny. Today, I want to talk to you about the growth of our community. So many churches are interested in growing their respective community. There are countless seminars and conferences about church growth. My inbox gets flooded with emails that guarantees growth from 100 to 500 in 6 months for one-time low price of $300. But if you respond within the next 24 hours, you get to pay only half of that, $150. To grow the church 5-fold in 6 months. Not bad, right? But this is not the kind of growth I want to talk to you about today. The growth we talk about from, let's say, 70 to 200 or 500 to 1,000 are not only unrealistic, but also unhealthy. Do you realize that any real and meaningful growth is invisible? If you come to our kitchen, we have these tiny markings on the doorpost with dates next to them. They're the markings for the height of our girls. Each of them has at least a dozen markings spanning across almost a decade. And then at the top is Sandy's and then mine. Believe it or not, I'm still the tallest in the family. One line each, because we're no longer growing. In fact, I think we're shrinking at this point. Does that mean that both Sandy and I are done growing? Not at all. I may not be getting taller at this point, but I am still growing in different ways, and so is each and every one of you. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4 today that talks about what God's plan is for all of us. and what it means to be part of a real faith community. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We will read from verse 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, this is really a mind-blowing passage. We all know that we are all supposed to be growing, but what is the limit that God has set for us? It is nothing less than the standard of Christ's own perfection. It says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is that even possible? God is saying yes. And for this purpose, God has given to the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. God is committed to developing us to the full maturity of Christ. But we will not be able to get there on our own. It can only happen in a community. What makes us a church community is that we are developmental in nature. We are called to grow together. We're committed to developing each other to have Christ formed in each one of us. So the question I want to place before you today is this. Are you growing? Have you been growing lately? If so, how do you know you're growing? If we're talking about a physical height or weight, we have measurement tools for such. But how do we even measure our spiritual growth? I took a few days this past week to fast and reflect on my own personal growth. It's been nearly 20 years since I came to this church. This was my first ministry. The big thing that I had to wrestle with is how I have grown in these 20 years or so, as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, and a leader. How do I even know if I've grown at all? Our experiences alone do not guarantee growth. It is how we integrate our experiences and discoveries into our practices that keep us growing. Ephesians chapter 4 serves us as a template or guide to our spiritual growth. First, Paul is reminding us that our calling is actually to become like Christ, to grow into the fullness of His maturity. That is the calling that God has on us. And then our ministry is to equip each other, other saints, to get there. So we are responsible for our own growth, but also for the whole body to attain the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. So what does spiritual maturity look like? And how do we know if we are growing in this season? There are three things that serve as the ultimate measure of our spiritual maturity. You can call it a scale or a ruler, or it'll serve as a guide, but I hope you'll get to measure yourself today. Make some markings and make some plans to work on growing in this next season. The first sign of spiritual maturity, Paul says, is that you know your place in the kingdom. Paul puts it this way, you may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every kind of doctrine or by human craftiness. It may seem like Paul is contradicting what Jesus had said earlier. Unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, there is a huge difference between being childlike and being childish. I am certain that Paul is actually talking about the latter here. One of the signs of childishness is instability or gullibility. We're so easily influenced by the opinions of the world, popular culture, and trend. One thing unique about children is that they're easily excitable and equally disappointable. You ask children what they want to do or who they want to become. It all depends on their mood at the moment or what they've been inspired by lately. Now, Abigail is a high school senior and she's now applying to college. She's thinking about a career path, what she wants to study and what she wants to focus on with her life. That honing in of passion and focus is a sign of maturing. Children seek experiences. The mature seek God's assignment. People who are mature know what their assignments are, and they know their position in the body, in the kingdom, and they know how to fully access the authority and the gifts given to them. Their lives are not driven by emotion, but a deep sense of knowing their identity and their mission in life. They're not easily thrown and tossed to and fro. They're anchored, stable, and know their place. Paul speaks of what people often refer to as the fivefold ministry: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. These are not just the professional pastors or staff in the church. These are the giftings available to each one of us. And no single person possesses all of these gifts. At best, you're probably going to excel at one or two. And you know how to harness these giftings for the benefits of the body. It says God has given these gifts to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That word, to equip, means more than just imparting skills or knowledge. It means to set bones into proper places. It is a beautiful imagery of our spiritual maturity. You know who you are, where you belong, what your mission is, and then you help others to find their place, to set them in place. So we grow to understand how God has anointed us and wired us. We learn how to operate within such giftings. That's the first sign of maturity. Then the second sign is that the welfare of the body you belong to become a higher priority than your personal happiness. Children will often say, "What's in it for me?" The spiritually mature will say, "What's in it for the people? And how can I contribute?" There's a beautiful imagery in this passage that is often lost in translation. Paul uses this metaphor of supporting ligament. Some translations will say joints, but the technical term is the ligaments that hold the bones together. Verse 16, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I cannot think of a better description of what genuine spiritual maturity looks like. Once again, Paul reminds us that it is when each part does its job, the body grows and builds itself up in love. It is knowing your place, but he goes on to explain this concept of ligaments. There are these soft tissues that hold your arm to your shoulder, your legs to your hip sockets, and the rest of your bones. So the spiritually mature not only set bones in their places, but hold them together so that the body can function. In the Christian world today, there is so much talk about spiritual leadership. Some of you know that my doctoral work is focused on leadership. Do you want to know what I have discovered so far about Christian leadership in the Bible? None. Zero. The scriptures hardly mention the word leadership at all. The Bible does talk about the importance of leaders, their character, maturity, godliness, but there is very little about leadership in the Bible. The reason is that Christian leadership is very different from how the world defines it. The better word to be used here is actually ligamentship instead of leadership. To be a spiritual leader in the body is to hold people together. You become those soft tissues that are almost invisible to the rest of the body, and yet they have the most important role to hold different parts in place. Everybody wants to be the head or the heart or even those important organs, even hands and feet. But today, we need more ligaments in the body. Those people who are invisible to the eyes of the world, but that are providing critical support for the whole body parts. To many, church or a community has become a place to meet their personal or individual need, spiritual, emotional need. That's why we sometimes hop from one church to another, from one community to another community, looking for better experiences, better preaching, better music, better programs. The places that will meet my need. We all have been there. And I'm not blaming people for exercising the freedom of choice that we have. But at some point, you have to make the commitment. At some point, your choice has to become more than just your personal need. At some point, you have to roll up your sleeves and say, yes, it's time to step up. I'm going to do my part. That is leadership or ligamentship. As I've been reflecting on my last two decades, I realized that I had many opportunities to leave this community. San Jose Christian Alliance Church 20 years ago was just a platform to launch us into our next ministry. We thought we were going to be here for 2 years and go overseas. Along the way, we had to really wrestle with this sense of personal calling against or in light of God's will for the body, this community. I'll be honest, there were many, many times we thought about leaving, doing something new, something different. There were seasons when I felt like I was just stagnating and rotting, totally hidden and unseen. There were people who approached us, trying to recruit to a bigger, better, and professionally more lucrative opportunities. Even now, there are more and more people who have wonderful plans for me and Sandy and are trying to push us to move on or even move up. But what keeps us anchored is this idea that what I am doing, what I do, and who I am is not a career or a profession. It's not even about my happiness. Not that I'm unhappy, but there are things that are far more important than my personal advancement and achievement. There may come a time when God says, your assignment is done. But what's been most fulfilling about my life is that I got to invest such a significant portion of my life into one community. And more, I'm beginning to see myself in my life as a ligament of a body than a strong, outspoken leader of an organization. Lastly, the true sign of spiritual maturity is that you're able to speak the truth in love. It's easy to do one or the other. We're usually good at doing one and not both. But as we grow into the maturity of Christ, one thing we must learn is how to speak the truth with love. Jesus was able to do that. He was a man full of grace and truth. He came to lay down his life for those whom he loved. Yet, he was never afraid of confronting them, calling things out by name. We're sometimes so afraid of offending people that we never confront. We're so afraid of being offended or being confronted that we surround ourselves with only those who would validate our worth. I told you this before, but even at this stage of our lives, Sandy and I have been very intentional in seeking out people who will speak truth with love, not just one or the other. There are people in our lives who have the authority and courage to tell us, Ted, you need to work on this. You need to stop doing this. Why do you say this or why do you do that? We've given them the permission to speak into our lives because we can take it. We know that these people deeply love us. They're committed to our development. I must say, many people in the church today are only seeking validation, comfort, encouragement. People who will only say, you're great, you're awesome. It may feel nice to hear those words, but they are not going to help us to grow to maturity. I want you to think about how many people you have in your life who will call out things and confront you. Say, you suck at this, but I love you. That's what a true spiritual community is. People who are going to walk with you no matter what. Not because of what we can benefit from each other, but because we're in a covenant relationship. And we are committed to growing together into the maturity of Christ, who is our head. Find those people who will speak truth with love. Surround yourself with them and become that person to others. I want to give you just a few moments right now to reflect on how you have been growing in this season. Do you know your place, your position in the kingdom of God? Do you know what your assignments are? Are you simply seeking better experiences in this community? Or is it time to step up, become part of the body, a ligament that holds others together? Who are the people speaking truth with love into your life? Who are those people God is calling you to walk with? And hopefully, you'll take some intentional actions today, tomorrow, and in the coming days. That's how you are going to continue to grow, and that is how we are going to become a true, authentic spiritual community. Let us pray.
Join with me as we close in prayer. God, we thank you for this wonderful invitation for us to grow, to not to stay where we are, to not be stagnant, to not even grow shorter or grow weaker, but to even grow stronger in our faith. So, Father, even as we reflect on the word from today, God, would you continue to speak to us? Would you challenge us, Lord, to know our place? Would you challenge us, Lord, to ligamentship? Would you challenge us, Lord, to really have a few brothers and sisters who can really speak the truth in love into our lives? Father, that we would give each other the permission for your truth to come. Father, that we would be open to your revelation, that we would be open, Lord, to your ways to grow us as your people. So, Father, we pray that even as we go from here, that, Lord, you would continue to grow us, cause us to grow into maturity, Lord, that we can attain to the maturity of Christ, that we can be deeper and deeper in love with you each day, that we can be deeper and deeper transformed into the image of Jesus every day. Thank you, Jesus, for this invitation and this opportunity, for it's in your name that we pray. Amen.